Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen, here with special guest today, Joel Elston. Today is Wednesday, July the 29th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time. Wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And Cindy Chavez has been feeling a little under the weather the last few days, and so I told her to take the day off and get healthy again. And she's feeling better. She and I were exchanging messages today. She's feeling a lot better, but she wants to get to 100% so we can start doing Neville Goddard again. We have another Neville book that we're going to do starting next week. Called At Your Command, and neither one of us has read it, so it's going to be interesting to see what we have to say about it, because we haven't read it yet. But Joel, you and I know a little bit about that, because we were doing podcasts together back when we were having like 25 listeners per episode, and we just made it up as we went along, and it worked.
In fact, I enjoyed all of them, of course, but the ones that I enjoyed the most is when, you know, in the very beginning, you would send me a message. What about this topic? What about this topic?
Yeah, yeah.
We finally both realized that no matter what we pick for a topic, we whenever, you know, we just went wherever. And, so we just agreed, no topic, and then just see where it takes us. And, or if you had a topic, I said, please don't tell me until we get started. And, those were my favorites. So when you know, literally today, what about 3 or 4 hours ago, you messaged me saying, hey, can you do the show today? I said, sure.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what we're doing, that's my favorite way to do it.
Well, I wasn't sure there was going to be a show at all, because when I got contacted by Cindy, I mean, I know your schedule is pretty crazy and the odds are about 1 in 3 that you're going to be available. So I figured, oh, I'll probably not be doing a show. And then you wrote back, yeah, I can do it. I got an opening. It's like, oh yeah, hot dog. This is
perfect.
Good.
Yeah. I was excited. I was really glad you messaged. So. I miss talking to you weekly. It's something that, it was a high point of the week, often when we would talk and, you know, after the show, we would talk. So I really miss having you weekly in my life. So, but it's always good. I don't feel like we've missed a beat though. We're right back at it.
Not really. No. And by the way, my other co-host and I have continued the tradition. We have a pre-show conversation. We have a post-show conversation. So all of that has continued the way you and I established it.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. So,
you know, when we first connected here, just a few minutes ago to, do our pre-show, we did about 2 minutes of pre-show. You brought something up about how things are happening now amidst all the craziness, the COVID, the racial tensions, the economic downturn, I mean, all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of good that's been happening. And we've been talking about that amongst my other co-hosts as well. But I think it's a topic that you really can't beat too much, because people forget. It's easy to forget when you're in the midst of all this craziness that good stuff's coming out of this.
And this is there's really no better time to understand how to apply the law of attraction to your benefit. Mm-hmm. The law of attraction is maybe never been more obvious in play than it is right now. The negativity, law of attraction, again, it doesn't, you know, I'll say this early in this podcast, it has no emotion. It doesn't care. And so, he's laughing because I say that every show at some point.
Absolutely. It's been a while since I heard that one.
Yeah. So the law of attraction just gives what that energy is. And a very effective tool in politics and with all that's going on is fear. Fear is something that is very pervasive. So the law of attraction is picking up on fear. So you see all that going on. So not to beat the negative side of it, but within this, there is new things happening. People, new discussions taking place that have not taken place. There's new thought, and the subliminal part of the brain, the subconscious part of the brain, is programmed by us and what we look at, what we think about, everything around us. And that's where the feelings come from. So when you think there's this impending doom and everything's out there, then the law of attraction responded to that feeling. But when you can change the narrative, change your feeling, sort of the old fashioned ask it is given concept of Abraham Hicks, where change your feeling within the moment, move your feeling up. Within this, I said when all this happened to a lot of my clients, 90% of the people more than likely are going to buy into the narrative. Everything's upside down and things are getting worse and our country may fall apart. But there'll be 10% of us that somehow will see the opportunity, they'll see the growth. And I've had several of my clients that have really just, this is their time to shine. This is their time to, the deck's being reshuffled and there's new opportunity. And if you're willing to put your energy out there, both physically and mentally, there's really unlimited opportunity right now. So the ability to tune in despite what your the programming is, what the general narrative programming is, it, you can see how it affects you. You can see how, you know, I implement a lot of, by taking action, I have the concept of the law of action, which is the bedfellow of the law of attraction. By taking the action, you know, despite everything you're being told, you know, believe this is what I have coming up. I have abundance and, you know, I'm again, you'll be shocking. I'm thriving during these times. And you know, I have many things, just always amazed at how that works. And people that buy into that message, you'll feel it. So I am even more empowered by seeing people that are able to apply the law of attraction in the midst of all, it gives such a great contrast when things happen. All this is happening and the contrast of the people that are really living this, it's just really obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's obvious if you're looking for it and you're willing to see
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Because it's too easy to see the other side, right?
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, one of the concepts when you get into the discussion of this side's right or this side's right or this, you know, versus, okay, all you guys go do all that. But right now, inside, where am I at? What opportunity is there? I'm very healthy. I have, you know, have an abundance. All that continues to be the narrative in my life. And none of that's changed. Nothing's changed during all this. The backdrop has changed. You know, before we started the podcast, I have the background is my bench. And
that's right.
We're on Zoom, obviously. And so my background wasn't showing. So I just flipped the switch and my background showed up. So out there, the background is something that is whatever is being printed back there. That's clearly just a picture of the bench. It's not really the bench. So that could be the background, could be whatever I choose to be or whatever I choose. Or I can remove it entirely, but I'm still here. Without the background, I'm still here. So the law of attraction gives us that ability to, you are in control of your reality, your control of your everything that you think is important. You're really in control of that. And that is a message that is polar opposite than what's being delivered. In fact, none of this is in your control and all of it is.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I love the analogy too about that background that you get to choose to turn it on or turn it off. And it's right. Literally that simple. If you choose to make it that simple, it's very cool.
Exactly.
I like also the fact that our live streamers are jumping in. Josie is one of our regulars now. And first of all, she wanted to let you know, she said hello. She wanted to let you know yesterday was her birthday and she
Happy
got
birthday.
The Joseph Murphy's book, Miracle of Mind Dynamics, as well as Raleigh Valentine angel answer cards for her birthday. So well done, Josie. That's good. She also has a question for you. She says, Jola, have you discovered any new talents or hobbies during this time?
That's a great question. Actually, I was talking about this the other day. I actually have not, but one of the things I have started doing, I have a narrative in my brain from a young child that I'm not talented in any area. I'm a good speaker. I love my job. But I'm not very talented. And I understand that narrative came from just, I don't know where it came from. You know, it's just, I'm not an artist. I can't draw. I can't do it. So I started thinking, just doing some research of the brain and neuroplasticity of the brain. You know, that there's we talked about this in one podcast a long time ago. It's called the Rykoff effect. Mm-hmm. And is if you start to believe as you're an artist or you're doing all that. So I'm actually in the process of, it's funny she said that. That's a law of attraction word. I'm in the process of seeing what talents have never been uncovered and just trying different things. And I'm going to try art. I'm going to try music. And this is stuff I've never dove into at all before.
Wow.
Because I had a narrative in my brain that just wasn't where I want to be. So I will share that on the next time I visit.
Okay.
If I'm making any progress or was my original assessment correct? I don't know, but we'll see.
Well, I think it's going to depend on what you believe. If you believe that your original assessment was correct, then it will be.
Right. Within that, you're right. It's just the belief of where I'm at. And to me, it's about enjoyment. If I can feel good doing any of this stuff, then it'll be a success. If it's forced for me or it's not there, then that's going to be more of a definition of success versus anyone else's opinion. If I enjoy playing music, it's relaxing. I love it. If I'm doing it and I'm miserable doing it, then, you know, we're going to look to something else. I spend a lot of time with while this isn't a talent, but I'm always researching concepts with the brain, my meditation, levels and learning new meditations and different forms of meditation. just read a lot of new science in the brain out at least recently. So I'm a very big brain person, believing that the brain and the law of attraction is all connected. So I'm finding ways to meditate at different levels. And so that while that may not be a talent, it's certainly a skill that I'm developing at a much greater rate.
Well, I would say it becomes a talent over time, especially since you have clientele and you're teaching your clientele. That also requires the talent to be able to explain it and teach it and help somebody else learn how to do it. So yeah, I think there's a talent involved in that.
It really is. So yeah, thank you, Joe. It's really great. Great question.
Yeah, a good one. But she also suggested, or shared rather, the fact that she now likes puzzles and checkers and she does some painting. So there you go with the art.
Oh, okay. Nice. Nice.
I'll have to compare painting sometime after you guys have done it for about a year. I mean, that's one thing that Cindy Chavez tells me about. She reminds me how she had done art by doing some drawing. She just sat down and did some drawing for about a year. And she's done the same thing with music and other things like that. She says, if you just stick with it every single day, just doing it every day, no matter how bad it is, you just do a new drawing, a new piece of art, whatever, every single day. After a year, you get good at it because you develop it.
You develop it. And one of the tools I use, I have a couple of younger clients that the technique that I leave a piece of paper in front of them in the area where they sit and some colored pencils and pens and stuff like that. I just leave it there. And they find that while we're talking, if they're drawing, they are able to concentrate on us talk. So weird as that sounds, I mean, the way the ADD brain works. And what they're discovering, which I love, is they're discovering that they're impressed with their, like, oh, I can't believe I did this. So it's within the concept of doing, and some of them actually put very profound meaning to what they drew. You know, so it's an unintentional form of art therapy. It's meant to be, you know, sort of help not distract, but it's turning into its own little thing. So several of them ask if they can draw during our session.
Nice. That's very cool. Yeah. And I like, by the way, what you said a moment ago about how you plan to kind of try something out. If it feels good, if you like it, you'll go with it. If it doesn't feel good, you move on to the next one. I call that the Sudbury method. And I call it that because you'll remember that I helped found a Sudbury school. It's an alternative school for kids that basically puts them completely in charge of their day. And that's something that Sudbury kids just do. You don't have to teach them how to do it. They just they try something for about 5 minutes, and it drives you crazy if you're actually hoping that they're going to latch on to something. But, you know, they try for 5 minutes, and nope, don't like that. Try the next thing for 5 minutes. Try the next one for 10 minutes. Try the next thing, and all of a sudden it's 2 hours later. Now they got something. So they stick with that for three weeks, and then they're done. And then they move on to the next thing. You know, it's just try one thing after another. And if you do that, I mean, if we adults could do that more often, we would, for instance, find that dream career.
Yes. Yes.
We don't find the dream career because we just don't look.
Well, again, part of that same launching point that that narrative that's dictated to us from a young age, you know, here's what you got to go do. You got to go work. And, you know, I was having this conversation literally my last session of the day. When you love what you do, when you really are passionate about what you do, when you're, it shows you get up, you go every day. The idea of going to do a job that I didn't want to do, it is, or wouldn't be able to be all in. I'm just so grateful that I'm able to do what I love to do. So finding that is my version of winning the lottery, because I don't go to work every day. I get to go do what I love every day of my life. And I'm empowered most days by what I do. I leave feeling, you know, equally lifted by my clients, and I get to do it again tomorrow. And it's just one of those, I never dread going to work. And I view it as, this gentleman who is always trying to get me to, you know, set up my retirement planning and all that. I go, I'm not retiring. I'm not. I mean, I might die in my office, but I am not retiring. It's just something that I can do forever. And I plan on doing until I just am physically not able to do that.
Yeah, and it's understandable. Once you find something that you really love doing, like I have found to do by doing a podcast, you want to keep going. Until you're just done with it. And I don't know that I'll ever be done with it. Maybe I will. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Today it doesn't matter. Exactly. Yeah, we can get stuck on all that down the road. But right now, you love doing it. But also, you never know how it unfolds. Like, there might be the podcast. We were talking about this before the show. It could go one direction or go another direction. But do what you need to do. That's sort of one of the basis of the law of action. Take the action that you love right now. And regardless of the action, and try not to – you know, get stuck on the outcome, and you get to where you need to get despite whatever your plans were.
I'm remembering a conversation that you and I had, a show we did a while back. This was while you were still doing the show regularly with me. And Louise and I had gone to someplace on the coast. I can't remember where it was. I think in Massachusetts. And it was a coastal town. We were in a gift shop. Louise likes to shop in various gift shops and so forth. I was just kind of hanging out. Louise chose something to buy. We're up at the counter checking out, and there's a young lady behind the counter checking us out. And she was in her late teens, early 20s, and struck up a little quick conversation with her and found out that she was going to school about 45 minutes, an hour from where we live. Oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to study there? Well, she wasn't sure. It was going to be her second year. She still hadn't established her major. And just out of thin air, I just blurted out, well, make sure that whatever you decide to do, do it because you love it, not because of the money. I gave it no prior thought. It just kind of came out. And she looked at me. She said, "We never hear that anymore, do we?" And I thought that was a really profound thing for her to say, because clearly that was incongruous with what she was normally hearing from her teachers, from her parents, from her guidance counselors, from her friends. I mean, you go for the money, you go for the career, you go for the thing that actually is going to make you financially successful. You don't go for the thing that you love. It was a completely different concept.
It's been lost, and you're right. It's just this idea that, we forget to put that in, raising our kids, or, I keep hearing, well, these are the professions that are going to be have the most employment available in 10 years. So
right.
Pursue that. And my argument is go pursue what this one was one of the weirder ones I ever had to deal with, how this worked out. So this young man and I were having the future discussion. He's okay. 19 years old and one semester of college, hated it, and he didn't know what he was going to do. So we were just, I said, his dad was in financial planning and he wanted to go into financial planning because his dad was in it. And he said, but I hate that really. Mm. And so we're just having a conversation. We're talking about the years he spent down in Florida, on the beach. They would spend all summer on the beach, and he loves to boat. And in one of the harbors down there, they had, one of the big ports, they had these tugboats. And he said he was a hand on a tugboat and really just made good money. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what about tugboats? What do you want to do that? And he goes, well, I don't know much about tugboats. So I said, well, what I just made a little mention during the session, look up tugboats, tugboat employment, whatever that means, captains and all that. So the next week he came in, he said, believe it or not, there's actually a school for tugboats and blah, blah, blah. And there's a big need for them. And wow. My mom and dad, I've already sent the application. Within 2 weeks, he had the physical. He then went up, and within 4 weeks, he was up wherever they do this. And he became a tugboat captain, and at something like 20 years of age, he's making 60 grand a year. He loves his profession, and it started with that ability just to say, huh, what do you want? What do you like? And
yeah.
I never even heard of a person who was a tugboat captain. I didn't know that. I knew that was a thing if I think about it.
Right, right.
But what do you do with that?
It doesn't normally pop up on the list of desirable career choices. It's more like a back end right. thing.
Right. Well, and that's the point. It's what's up with that,
Right.
And that's the whole thing that while we're looking at this process that we have to do, you see this. It all sort of comes together this way, that mm-hmm. when you allow it, it will happen. It's just allowing it is our hardest thing, letting go of that, but this, but that, and just see where it goes.
That's pretty cool. Tugboat captain. And I can see that because I can recall various times where, we're on vacation and we're taking a ferry across or something like that. And if you are lucky enough to be actually talking to the guy who's running the boat or, directly involved, you ask him, or that's what I do. I don't know what other people do. I ask, how long have you been doing this? Do you enjoy it? I've never gotten an answer that says, oh, I can hardly wait to get out of it. I never get that answer. The answer is I could do this for the rest of my life. Oh, I'm just loving this.
Well, and it's last time I talked to him, it's a fraternity. It's these guys, most of the tugboat captains are much older than he is. So mm-hmm. They all look out for him. They all mm-hmm. He said, I just sort of fell into this, and it literally took place as a side note to one of our side note conversations. And
right.
And that's how you can develop it. But that's how this works. When you put yourself out there for that, then the law of attraction brought all that together.
Mm-hmm.
And And him being young and very little impediment, instead of saying, okay, well, I can't go away this long, he had nowhere to be. His mom was, well, maybe next year you could do it. And he said, why not this year? They want me this year. And his mom was uncomfortable at first, not because it wasn't a good idea. It was just so sudden. She's like, well, yes. We should, you know, and so she got on board with it. She can't believe it. She said he's as happy as he's ever been. And he mm-hmm. can do this, like you're saying, forever and ever and ever. And you know, you've been there a while, and it, you know, they make, you know, they can make $150,000-$200,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so, really something.
Yeah. So it's who knew? And it all happened with just that this conversation you are having.
Right. Well, it just goes to show that it does pay off. Of course, the tricky part for most people, well, maybe not most people, for a significant proportion of the population, let's put it that way. The difficult part is kind of like his mom, being willing to stretch far enough to try something like that. If it doesn't fit the traditional paths, that's outside of what we no longer call the comfort zone, by the way. We've changed the terminology. We now call it the familiar zone here on the show. And that's right outside that familiar zone. It's very uncomfortable outside the familiar zone.
the concept of just trusting that to happen, because you know, when you know, we had the meeting with the parents in my office, and she said, well, this is just happening too fast. And I said, but what's the definition of that? I said, I'm you're right, he can wait a year to go, but I have yet to hear a reasonable reason that makes sense. Mm. And she said, I just can't get my arms around this. He's, mm-hmm. you know, in my mind, he's still 5 years old. And so, well, clearly he's not 5 years old. he's passionate about this. And so she was able to really walk through it and say, I have no logical objection. She said, I have no logical objection. He really wants to do it. I said, worst case scenario, he gets up there. He's not in jail. He can turn around and come home. I
mean, it's right.
Just, yeah. He's 19. How can we make bad choices that, you know, as long as there's a movement forward, that's not a bad choice.
Yeah.
And I do that a lot, but the self, that's why I've often said, like, the younger people tend to have a better grasp in implementing the law of attraction and all that goes along with it, is they don't have that 30-year buildup of processing and stepping outside of the norm. You know, their idea is just, yeah, let's do that. And so it works well for them when they implement it, much more than, you know, a 50-year-old who has to change a lifetime of thinking.
That is true. And it's an interesting thing. There are a few interesting things, quite a few interesting things, actually, about the younger generations now. And as I say that, and as I think about them and even talk about them, I recall over and over again what our generation said about our parents.
And, right. You
know, we were in the era of the generation gap, right? And that's right. What was the big terminology. And they don't call it that anymore, but it's challenging for the older generations to deal with what the younger generations are doing. And that's always been true, I think. But the cool part is the younger generations, they are developing new ways of doing things. There are always strengths and weaknesses. There are things that everybody could think of, well, I would do that better or I would do that different. But one of the big strengths that they have, and I'm kind of tying this in to what I know about what the positive psychology people have discovered, is that the modern young generation are very, very electronically connected.
Absolutely.
And it gives them a tremendous social network. And the positive psychology people have told us that's one of the best predictors of success that you can possibly have. If you've got a strong network, whether it be online or offline, doesn't really matter. But if you have a strong network of friends and friendships, you have a much better chance of getting to where you want to get to in life. That's a really great power that the modern young generation has.
Yes. And one thing it's funny you say that, because that is one of my big things now, is networking for young people, where you,
oh really?
It's on point, because it's the, one of my clients wants to be a basketball coach one day. Ooh. And he's 19, and he's about to go to college, and he's looking at different colleges. So he said, you know, how do you get into being a basketball coach? And I said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I said, but you know, some people to ask. And he goes, oh, so some basketball coaches. So I had him one night go, and he knew a lot of these where they play. Every college basketball, not the bigger programs, but even some assistant coaches, go on their website, Email two or three of them, tell them your passion, make it individual, and do four or five of those emails a night. He was overwhelmed by the response.
Really?
And yeah, and people were, you know, here's the path I took. Here's what I did. In fact, if you want to, you know, he had a couple of offers to maybe come out and be a team manager possibly. And,
wow.
And so it's opened the door. We haven't taken any action on it yet, but he developed probably 300 people that responded to him over a period of time. And so I said, that's developing a network. That's developing, you know, it's the beginnings of a network. Reach out, make connections, introduce yourself. And that's when you allow the law of action to happen. You know, mm-hmm. the law of action is when you go meet and you move, and that attracts a lot of stuff. And that's how the law of attraction works. Again, for me, is the more action I take toward that step and just reaching out, putting it out there, you know, it's just, it's automatically met almost. And so he's very excited about this new concept. So he's very That's much great. Into that. And the younger generation, you know, it's easy to, well, they do it differently than we do. Well, you know, just look around. We haven't done it that great. So,
no kidding.
you know, so maybe we'll listen to them for a while, you know?
Yeah.
But I like that idea. They don't socialize the way we socialize.
Right.
And that's not necessarily wrong.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
In fact, I would say it has a lot of strengths to it.
Right.
Now, it's an interesting thing that you're talking about him doing this now, because I've done a lot of personal work. You know, I have.
Right.
To get myself into a better place. I still have those connections to the part of me that wants to be fearful. And so it doesn't take me a whole lot of work to pull up what those fear things might be.
Right.
And one
right,
of those
yeah,
fear
yeah.
things that I can imagine people thinking is, well, we're dealing with COVID right now. You can't go become a manager or a coach on a basketball team. They're not even going to be playing basketball. I mean, that's no career choice.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny you said it until you said that. It never even crossed my mind. It's at some point.
See, that's my job.
Playing, yeah, yeah. At some point, they will be playing basketball at some
yes.
point. And that's his passion. And one day when they are playing basketball, it's not going to be this year. We've already decided that likely.
Sure.
But getting networked in and getting, you know, doesn't mean that teams won't be training. That doesn't. There's multiple things. There's going to be summer leagues. There's going to be all types of things. And one of the things that he started doing too, it like locally, and they're not all over the place, but there are some little basketball camps happening right now with everybody socially distanced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's out there teaching little kids how to do this. He's honing his coaching skills. He's reading the book of the great coaches and
yeah.
what they had to say and whose style he wants to emulate. He's studying the law of attraction and different, you know, metaphysical Buddhist type beliefs, you know, and so he's really very much into the process. So this groundwork he's laying is just fascinating, and it's going to make really great success. So the negative, the you know, rehearsed concepts of, well, here's all the things that could go wrong, and there's a million of them. You're right.
Oh yeah.
But I there's not a moment. It's funny how my mind's to a place right now that never comes up, but it's never, it not, I know this guy's going to be a basketball coach at some point. It's not even a thing. It's just,
sounds like it.
He'll do it. It will.
Yeah.
He will. And
yeah.
so and that's where you just sort of let go. I have my office suite, you know, I rent a building. There's six or seven therapists in this building, and we rent it together from this property owner, and three or four of the therapists have realized during this downturn, for them it was a downturn, they could work from home. They didn't even need an office.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady who's sort of in charge of the business side of all this, she's very, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And you know, we have until February. And I go, but it'll work out. It's just not even a thing. You know, she said, well, I don't know how it's going to work out. And I go, oh, I didn't say how it would work out. I know it's going to be fine. And she's like text four or five times, text me in one day. You know, well, I said, well, we'll cover the difference until it's time, and let's not get down there in that fear mode. And finally, I just had to tell her, say, stop. It's going to work out. Your fear of all this is going to, it's going to send it the wrong direction. And she's like, I don't know how you can face life this way. Trust me, it works wonderful. but again, she's conditioned with the world's falling apart. I'm like, well, I can't, this won't make the top 1,000 things that happened in my lifetime as bad things. It's not even a thing. And if by some chance we do lose the opportunity to rent the suite, there's tons of places, the same situation is making those people go, but there's better opportunity. We're going to hold a brand new set of office suites in our buildings. All might be a new building out there. Not worried about it today.
People forget too, that during economic downturns, like you were saying earlier to me, there's lots of opportunity, and I can point to a very, very good reason why. If you have an economic downturn, it means that there are fewer people renting offices. That means the landlords want to get people in there. If they can get you in there, they're going to get you in there, and there are going to be some that are going to cut you some pretty sweet deals to get you there.
Well, in Richmond, I'm in the Richmond, Virginia area today, and they one of the companies that has a big presence is Capital One, and they rent a massive building right around here, and when all the COVID hit, they sent everybody home. They set up home networks they had to do it on the fly, did a really good job with it. Mm-hmm. They discovered something pretty interesting for them is they're running at about 96% of efficiency before they left. Mm. And so they're like, that's not a drop in efficiency.
No, that's pretty good.
We're worried about. And then when you factor in you don't have building costs, you don't have these other things. So they're contemplating, do we let everybody stay home forever and hire them that way? We could reduce our office footprint down. Well, that office building, which has 1,000 offices in it, they're going to have 1,000 offices for rent. So it will be, you can get stuck on the fear side of whatever's happening or the opportunity side. And the law of attraction just taught me. And you know, my story, a lot of the listeners now probably don't know the whole story, but I've faced a lot of that in my life, and it's always worked out. And in fact, it's done it so often. There's never a hesitant moment in my life. I never even have a tap the brake anymore. It's just, it's going to work.
Oops. Gotta turn that off. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I usually turn those off, and I forgot to do it today.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, it's nice, pleasant music anyway. But, that's what it is. I'm going to treat that like a reminder. So this is a reminder to me. We're like halfway through. This is a time for me to do a little promotion on the LOA Today app, which of course just came out recently. And it's now the go-to way to listen to the show. So instead of telling you to go subscribe, I'm going to just ask you to go download the LOA Today app if you haven't already done that. And if you have downloaded the app, I'm asking you to tell a friend to download the app, because the whole reason why I created this app was to make it easy for people to subscribe and listen to the show. And people who have downloaded are saying, whoa, this is great. I love it. This is easy. And what's even more cool is that so many of our co-hosts have donated courses, ebooks, meditations, and a few of them are on the app already. There are more to come. We're going to be talking tomorrow. Dan Mangana and I are going to talk about his ebook that he donated called The Money Game. And it's a fairly short ebook, Joel. It's only, I'm not sure how many pages it would be in print. I mean, I have the electronic version, but I would gauge it's probably 20, 30 pages, something like that, maybe 40 pages. But it's gold. And I say it's gold because this is something I relayed yesterday to Daniel so that he could kind of get a little embarrassed about it. But he last month told Alex and I kind of on the fly at one point that he had almost hit his goal for the month. He had almost had a six-figure month. It's like, oh, I came so close. And I was teasing him saying, Dan, you do realize most people hope for six-figure years. You got almost a six-figure month.
Right.
And my point is, this is a guy who knows how to manifest money. So if you're going to read a book about money, you read The Money Game by Dan Mangana, because he knows what he's talking about. And it comes right on the LOA Today app for free. So once again, go to your Play Store if you're on Android. Go to your App Store if you're on iPhone. Do a search for LOA Today. Download and install the app. You'll start getting all this stuff. As we do updates, they'll keep flowing into the app. You'll just have all this great information. Plus, you get to listen to episodes 5 days a week. How much easier could it be? And be sure you tell a friend to tell a friend. So, end of promotional announcement.
Awesome.
So, getting back to what we were talking about, I wanted to ask you a little bit about this whole concept of let's see, you were just bringing it up. What was it? Working at home. Because we talked earlier about how with the COVID situation and with the racial tensions and with all the stuff that's going on, there's a lot of new things happening, a lot of things going on. People are working at home now in record numbers. I mean, right. There are small office parks around here that, you know, normally I would go by, they'd be jam packed in their parking lots. The parking lots are empty because everybody's working at home. This is a big, big shift that's going on, and it's almost going on unnoticed. And yet I have a strong feeling. I want to know what your take is. I have a strong feeling this is something that's going to not only continue in a big way, but have a tremendous impact on stabilizing the economy.
I think you're right. First of all, absolutely, completely agree. And I think, while I don't know how it all unfolds, obviously, I think there's industries that may never recover. And I think there's industries that will be born. You saw one of my Facebook posts, and I was shocked at the number of people that responded. In our county, in Virginia, Hanover County, we have three or four options to start school. It's all online. It's all in person, and it's a hybrid model, and where some there, some not. And so my son Justin and I were talking, and it's his life, so I want to, you know, as long as he's putting in the effort, I'm like, it's obvious he sort of gets to decide. And he said he thinks he would like the online version. I explained that he has to be in front of the computer every morning when it starts, and this is not, you know, just playtime, not Fortnite on the, the background. And he's, so that's probably the way we're going to go. But I just happened to mention one day on Facebook, so would it be a good idea if I got 10 families together and we used the local school, our school board's curriculum, and we hired a teacher for, you know, $150, $200 a week each. And we hired a teacher to come in and supervise the curriculum and create like mini homeschools, mini home thing, you know what I mean? And do that. And I could see that happening. Now it's happening really quick in the middle of summer, but I don't know that that doesn't become the norm one day. I don't know that families or communities don't create little mini schools or mini, you know, it could be do that. Like I said, working from home, there could be the tech people that need to set up, you know, when a new employee comes in. They're going to need to go to their house to get their tech stuff set up properly for them. There's going to be more jobs in that area. There's going to be just a lot of movement around. And so this new economy that will sort of come up will be just incredible. I mean, I'm very impressed with what's going to be. I think the, you know, the neighborhoods are going to, I was talking to our Comcast guy. You know, our neighborhood is a relatively new neighborhood, and I forget all the jargon he was talking about, but we were, I mean, the highest capacity he could put in for internet at the time was put in here, and, they're redoing it and quadrupling that now.
Wow.
Because so many people are now working from home, the demand for the internet, you know, high speed internet is so much higher. So it's going at lightning speed right now in so many areas. So there is growth. People are, as you said, they're uncomfortable with change. We've always done it this way, and we've always done that. And, you know, those are things that keep people stuck. Well, here's one of the possible benefits of COVID. It's forcing us to do things differently. It's forcing us to look at things differently. I know when, I'm sure we're not where we were, but I remember seeing various places around the world at the first month of the shutdown, you know, rivers cleaned up, the pollution was lower. You could see the Great Pyramids from millions, you know, from hundreds and hundreds of miles away. There were dolphins coming into the area they haven't been before. Deer were running around in Japan and in Tokyo and downtown Tokyo. And so it was just with that little bit of time off, the earth sort of renewed itself a little bit. So, you know, that's a good lesson. I mean, maybe us staying home has multiple effects, and it changes the way we do things. So regardless of which way it goes, you can go crazy trying to figure it out, but rest assured there will be something new from this. And if we, instead of fighting and holding on so hard, you know, and the conspiracy theories about, you know, we're running out of money and they want this, they want that. And, you know, why don't we just take a deep breath and see where this thing goes? And because one way or another, I'm coming out on top. That's just, that's the way it works.
That's the way it works, right? When you know how to apply law of attraction to your own benefit. Absolutely. Right. It's true. No doubt about it. I'm also reminded too that as we talk about these things, we are dealing with people sometimes who have that great resistance you're talking about. And it, it is hard on people. They are outside their familiar zones. They are resistant to all this stuff. You know, we shouldn't be doing all this stuff. We should be talking about putting the kids back into those concrete block schoolrooms again, because that's where the real learning learns, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You see a lot of that going on. But as you point out, the reality of the situation is blocking them. And that's what they're so angry about. They aren't angry about the lack of the thing happening. They're angry about the block. They're angry about facing that. Now, there was a time where I would start to get really not upset about it, but I'd be worked up like, well, okay, there's a block there. How do we help them move the block and so forth? And I've come to realize it's fine. The block is actually doing what it's supposed to do. The block is actually serving its purpose. In Abraham terms, it's helping to create that expansion in a massive, massive way. And
yeah, it's such a, you're so on point. And, you know, the idea, as I'm saying, I jokingly posted this as a comment on that post about the little small.
Right.
I just want to make an official law of attraction school. and I had probably 10 people say, now I'm on board with that. And,
oh, cool.
And, yeah. So, but I don't know that if I open my homeschool, that's one of the advantages. I mean, that's part of the curriculum. It's law of attraction. It's science. It's real. It's whatever. And, you know, but that would scare people because you're getting away from anything that's centered. You know, back in 1962, this is how I learned is what they'll say.
Right.
And so clearly that's what they need. Well, the world isn't 1962 anymore. So the way you learn, as kindly as I want to say that, it's not relevant. My dear friend who passed away last year, Dr. Sherman Master, was a brilliant psychiatrist and a mentor of mine. And he actually told me, 6 months before he passed away, he said he went to medical school. A psychiatrist is a medical doctor with a specialist in psychology and psychiatry. Right. And so he's a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. And he, to become a psychiatrist, he had to go through he had to memorize every bone in the body, every nerve, every condition that was in the, you know, all the different DSMs back in the day. He had to memorize all of them, all the classes of psychiatric medications that he memorized so much, and he said that's what medical school was. It was repetitive memorization over and over and over. And he said, in today's world, you're wasting that space. You need to teach them how to diagnose, how to think differently. Mm. You got, that's at your fingertips. He said, I don't need to know every bone in the head. I don't need to know every, you know, and so one day we'll get to understand that. That's why, you know, you can break away from that. There's no point now in a doctor having to know every single condition. Mm-hmm. He can check symptoms instantly without that. And
with all the different conditions they've developed and this, you know, just discovered and uncovered and written about and so forth, I doubt that there's a doctor out there who knows all of them.
No,
there's no way they could. There's just too many.
No. And by the time you get done with school, there's a whole new batch out. And so,
right.
So, but within that, I mean, he was, you know, older, quite a bit older when he was saying all that. But he's like, we're one day medical school will change and they'll adapt to what we have. He saw that vision and you know, we can't see it. A lot of people get stuck at, I did it this way and I'm glad it served you that way, but let's see what's around the corner. That's where this process, the awakening and letting things happen. To me, that's just what this is all about. It's just a whole different way of living. I love the idea, like, you know, I officially, whatever happens with Justice School this year is going to happen. We'll deal with it. It's just, I'm not, there's no anxiety attached. I know people that are running around, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, it'll be okay.
As you were talking about that, I realized that, by the way, you'll be happy to hear I'm not paying as much attention to the news as I was before. It's not because I am like trying to take myself off of it. It's not like I'm trying to wean my way away from addiction. It's because I've actually lost interest, which I'm loving. I'm loving the fact that I just don't really care anymore. But that's another story. I don't want to go there just yet. What I want to talk about is the fact that I do still have some awareness of what's going on. And one thing I'm aware of is there's this big thing going on between the left and the right about the medical establishment and who do you listen to and what treatment ideas do you follow, particularly where COVID is concerned. And there is a chunk on the left that says you have to listen to what the people in top authority say. And there's a chunk on the right that says, no, 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 you have to listen to what these cutting edge doctors have to say. And they're fighting and they're going at it and so forth. And people get all worked up about it. And I'm sitting back saying, this is cool. This is really cool, because what's happening here is the whole dynamic is kind of breaking down. And now all of the medical establishment is going to have to start doing some shifting to deal with the fact that the medical establishment's at war with itself right now.
Absolutely.
And that's going to produce some cool stuff. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to produce some cool stuff.
Well, you know, we it's funny you say that, because, you know, you can't help but see that video. And I didn't watch the video, but I've seen the debate on either side of that video. That's in the big thing. And I sort of laugh at it. And just like you're saying, I'm not involved in either of those sides. It's like, you know, you see the passionate stuff. You see how we got to where we're at. You see the divided nature of it all. They're actually, you know, working with a bunch of doctors. My dear friends who, they didn't go to medical school for 12 years, or however long they didn't develop $750,000 in student debt pick a political side to make a point. They didn't do that.
Yes, that's right.
So they are trained. Here's a good example. They're trained to say, before you can declare something effective or a cure, it has to meet rigorous studies. Mm-hmm. It has to do that. That's all they're saying.
Yeah.
And then the other side's saying, there's evidence this might work. Well, there is. It isn't one or the other. It's just one side has their oath to do it this way. The other side, there's multiple drugs that are prescribed off-label that have never been officially approved for that. Mm-hmm. It isn't that you can't do it. It's just the concept. You can't call it this. You can't call a cure until it's been rigorously tested at this level, period, for that thing. So anyway, you see the debate, and I'm going, you're not really saying the opposite things. You're just arguing about the point. You're just arguing from a side. Because if you understood what the argument was, they're both right. They're okay. That drug very well may be effective against it, and it's not a proven cure yet. It's just, it may be one day, but you don't snap those double-blind studies. They take a year and a half.
So the trick now becomes, can you let go of the fact that the two seem to be at war with each other? And satisfy yourself with, wow, they're actually talking about stuff instead of just shoveling it into the back corner.
Yeah. And that's how I look at it. It's like this friction is creating something.
Yeah.
And there will be people that grow from this. There's going to have to be changes. So when changes happen, there's an adjustment to changes. So I'm looking at it as a growth opportunity for us all. I don't get into the, you know, I don't get into the intricacies of the political stuff. I think it's all silly. I just look at it from the outside standpoint of when the law of attraction is giving us exactly what we're seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And it has always done that. It just does it without, it never misses a beat. It just keeps going. So if anything, this time for me is just reinforced. We are really at a great opportunity for change, a move forward. It might be ugly along the way, but it's only ugly if I choose to view the ugly of it.
That's true. That's true.
That's it.
And as this whole thing with the COVID started to unfold, I spent quite a bit of time here on the podcast expressing the opinion that a big factor in this was going to be the placebo/nocebo effect.
Yeah.
And I actually was reaching out to people in the medical community, people in the community at large and so forth, and getting slapped really hard for it, for bringing that up. How can you do that in the middle of this thing going on? You know, don't you have any sensitivity about how many people are dying? Blah, 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 all the kind of stuff. And so I recognized, okay, yep, this is a time to take a step back. People aren't ready for it yet. And as I thought about it, I realized they're not going to be ready for this for quite some time. And what was really cool was I was okay with that.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I wouldn't have been okay with that. I'm okay with that now.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous.
That is big. Well, I mean, I know you well. That's a big change recently. I mean, that's big. Yeah.
It is.
Letting go of that. Yeah.
I'm fine with that, because I do know, I have so much confidence now in how the law of attraction works, how source energy works, how all of this stuff works, this stuff that we label spirituality. I have so much confidence in it now that I know the whole thing about placebo and nocebo is going to come out at some point. And it's going to come out in regard to COVID. it may not be this year. It may not be the next 3 or 4 years. It's going to come out at some point. I even had somebody on the show who is a placebo nocebo researcher for the University of Maryland, who's currently in the process of doing a study that she couldn't tell me about because they're in the middle of it, of looking at the placebo and nocebo effect in regard to COVID. And I thought, how cool is that? So I had to talk with her, right? We had this conversation. And a number of things came out of that interview that I did with her. It was a real softball interview. I wasn't throwing any tough questions at her at all. I was just so grateful she was there at all, you know, because getting somebody like that onto a podcast, it's not so easy to do. But she said something that I kind of saved for later on, because toward the end of the show, she said, well, as much as I have an interest in all of this, I'm very glad that the medical authorities were trying to scare people into wearing masks and social distancing. And in the back of my head, I'm saying, you're a nocebo researcher, and you're saying you're glad that they were scared into it. You know for a fact that this is helping to encourage people to feel like they're going to get sick or even to die. And you're saying that. And I'm thinking, wow, that is a real strong indication of what's going on in the medical establishment, that a researcher in this field would say that. So I'm kind of saving it for later on, because I want to have her back after she's done her study to find out what happened in the study, and then just ask her, do you feel the same way about that? Right. I think it's going to shift. I think it's going to shift.
I hope so. And as you know, having studied metaphysics at length, unfortunately, the bias of the persons or the people conducting the study often have great effect on the study itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, hopefully she sees enough evidence to maybe get her to shift from that belief of, I'm glad they scared them. I can easily get in trouble with what I say, but, I acknowledge there's a lot of people. This is not about anyone suffering or anybody that's still struggling.
Right.
I just know my world, and I take necessary precautions. If our rule here is you go in a store, you will put on a mask. I put on a mask. It's fine. I'm good. And I do that, but I also go about my life. I have it, I do everything. I am not going to get it. I'm not. I'm super healthy. If I were to get it, I would not know it. Somebody would have to tell me you probably had it, or whatever, along those ways. And again, I'm not tempting. I'm not challenging anyone that's had it. You know, it's just, I haven't had the flu in 17 years and don't get the flu shot. So, I mean, it's just, I'm really healthy in that way. So within all of this, I can't wait till the placebo nocebo effect is really revealed for the value that it really is. It has great effect. And I watch, I'll tell you a quick story. I've told you this on the show before, but I have a friend in Florida that, a few years ago, he was, I get a very scary call he's a dear friend. I lifted weights with him. He was super healthy, 45-year-old man, and he had liver cancer. And it was horrible. And you're smiling, so that's giving the wrong message. Well,
I remember the story. That's the thing. I know what the punchline is. It's not a punchline, but I know how the story ends.
I'll let the audience know. He's not smiling at the liver cancer.
That's so, right.
Yeah. Long story short, I won't go into the long story version. But, when I went down to see him, it took me about a week to get down there. In a week, he had lost like 19 pounds, and he was gray and miserable. And I asked him if he'd been working out and eating. He goes, no, I'm dying of liver cancer. I'm like, okay, none of this is matching to me. So I was there on a Friday. I stayed down there the weekend with him. And on Monday, he had his testing and more in-depth test, and where they really get in there. And he was in there a lot longer than we thought he was supposed to be in there. And then finally, when it all was done, his wife comes out and like, well, there's nothing wrong with him. And there was a horrible mix up in the test results before. He's fine. And I go, wow. Wow. Love it. His mind, that was the effect. He almost killed himself believing he had a fatal disease. He came out, his color was already better just by that. Wow. And within 2 weeks, he'd gained like 6 or 7 pounds back and was back in the gym. Everything was great. So the point is, if it can do it one side, it can do it the other. And, Dr. Joe DiPenza always talks about you are the placebo.
Right.
You know, all those things are relevant to where what we're believing. Right now, everyone's maybe not the best time to receive messages. Nobody's receiving messages outside of the narrative that you have to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you say it this way, you're this supporter. If you say it that way, you're this supporter. And, you know, it's almost like, let's stop. But they can't right now. But at some point, this will come out. And I do believe we're going to have this, as we're saying, this is going to be a move forward, a step forward for us.
This is going to be a big sort out for a lot of people. It's gotten to the point now, like you say, where people are so focused on it. I had a contact from somebody who is a customer of mine from my web hosting business, who I barely know the guy. I mean, I've had quick 3-minute conversations to help him with his website and stuff like that. No, nothing really in depth. So I don't really know him. And he reached out to me on Facebook. That's a longer story. It seemed like he reached out to me. Well, actually wasn't him. His account got hacked and somebody reached out trying to pretend to be him to pull a scam on me. I realized it was a scam. I let him know about it. Thank you for letting me know. He changed passwords, all that kind of thing. And then he sent me a note that basically said, you know, I think he said 62 years old. And I've been working in the security industry all my life, and I just can't believe what's going on in this country right now. Like, I never knew so many people hated this country. And you could just tell he was just baiting me, trying to get me to join in on his, right, on his narrative. And I thought to myself, wow, that shows how deeply people are hearing and taking in these narratives that are out there on both sides. I mean, it's not that he's on one side, but on both sides of what's going on, they're right on the edge of just practically having a nervous breakdown, as they used to be called. And I say that in a way that it sounds like that's a bad thing. I think it's actually a good thing, because as my wife has pointed out, a nervous breakdown should really be called a nervous breakthrough. It's where you are getting in touch with what's going on.
Yeah. This is going to do something where we, like you say, both sides are, I know people that truly, truly, I've heard my extreme conservative friends really suggest there's going to be a civil war if Trump loses.
I've really
heard that. And, you know, I'm fascinated by that statement. I'm like, wow. You know, and I've also heard similar things on the other side. So I'm not a side person. I'm just saying, you know, at the end of the day, we are an amazing country. We have our strength is our diversity. We have, you know, and just like anything else, the law of attraction is not racist. It does not carry racism. It doesn't take excuses. It doesn't care if you're disabled. It doesn't care. The law of attraction is just the law of attraction. It applies equally to all of us. And what I don't like, and by the way, Walt at loatoday.net, if you need to email him on this one,
I'll be happy to forward it to Joel for you.
Yeah. But we have this narrative is almost forcing people into the role of victim of where we're at. And this victim culture is a helpless culture.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you for the, so don't, yeah, no,
but it's but, true. But there's a lot, it's a lot going on there. I mean,
and that's both sides. That is not, I'm not picking one that if everybody is the victim of what's happening in reality, the Wizard of Oz, all you can do is click your heels together and none of this is, it's not even real. It's just not there. So, but if you can be sold that the other side is out to destroy you and they're trying to take away your existence and the way of life and your country as you know it, it just creates this, I'm helpless in this equation. And the most important, amazing thing is we have access to the most powerful source in the universe in the law of attraction. We create our own reality by what we believe.
Specifically, where these narratives are concerned is the most direct way to apply what you just said is to decide, do I want to buy into the narrative?
Absolutely.
It's just that simple. I buy into it? I mean, yes, they're all created in a way to make them sound so convincing and so eternal and so powerful and so forth, but they are ultimately a choice. You can choose to buy into it, or you can choose to not buy into it and buy into something else, or not buy into anything and just move on to another topic entirely. It's entirely up to you.
Absolutely. Walt, I don't want to cut you short, but I am really up against the clock.
You're on
today.
A very tight deadline. So thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it. And
thank you for reaching out. Thank your audience for me. And I'm going to have to click off this.
Okay? All right. So we'll just leave it at that. I will definitely call you the next time I need you, though. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. So good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Good talking to you, too. And thank you also to our listeners. We really appreciate all of you very much as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.